Hi.
Hey, babe.
Long time no, literally no see.
Literally only seeing you on my screen.
Virtual reality. We are in a cyber relationship. Like, is this what it feels like in 90 Day Fiancé when they like fall in love with people in Ukraine and then like never meet?
Seriously, like I am meeting people strictly online now, like ASL.
Like, and meet me in the chat room, send me a nude that's tasteful.
It feels like Her, you know? Like, it feels like just so many dystopian movies, like... Like, and of course it's 2020. Like, of course it's, you know, this, like, year that's so sexy in terms of the numerology. Actually, it's probably,
I wanted
like
it to be like
to hell.
But I wanted it to be, like, yeah, like, voluptuous and round and, like, velvety and, like, tingly. And instead it's just, like, jagged little pill. Drown me in my own sorrows, please. Put me out of my fucking misery.
Yeah, I mean... this quarantine, as compared to all the other quarantines that I've lived in,
years past,
yeah, the days of your quarantines, it is a crazy experience, and like I don't think we expected it to last this long. I don't think.
No.
You know, we just realized that the last time that we sat together and recorded was 2 months ago.
And remember that? It was such a weird day because it was right before things got obviously very, very real. And I remember it was like we were all sitting there. And I mean, I was just so distracted because like I just wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Instead, it was like Uba, which was obviously great. Please listen to that previous episode, everyone. Thank you and good night. But then it just felt like that was the last time I rode the bus.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like our last
distinctly ride. Remember that bus ride because Faku was on it.
Faku and his little mochila. Oh,
and
I think that was a sign.
Yeah, that was definitely a sign. And yeah, I remember, yeah, it was like all we talked about up to the recording was COVID, and then after as well. And you came over for lunch after.
Oh my God, I needed that. I was like spinning wheels. Jose was in Tucumán.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
just like,
and he
I was
like
alone.
he brought you like a mask from Tucumán because there were none left.
Yeah,
here
barbijo tucumano. Tucumanense.
So.
Yeah, I mean it's funny because I feel like, of course, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. It's like, of course that was gonna last more than 2 weeks, like, yeah. This and like how naive we were and how obvious at the same time. It's just, I'm kind of impressed at the power of the human psyche to like put up blinders and like protect itself.
Yeah.
All in the name of self-preservation, because it's just so weird that like time has gone by and I mean, I fully understand Bill Murray and Groundhog Day. Like I fully, like this is just every morning waking up to Sonny and Cher and like, I don't know, like.
Exactly.
It's so strange. I love to walk, as you know, and I used to every day just like love looking at my phone and being like, wow, I walked this many kilometers, not for like any kind of fitness goals, but just because I love like speed zipping around town and like stomping my feet on those broken baldosa sueltas, right?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I wear literally the same outfit every single day.
Yeah.
I walk 3 blocks to walk the dog, like a la redonda, and like my primary like source of physical exertion is like sweeping.
Yeah. I sweep so much. Like, I feel like just, I don't know, the gender roles are like being enforced or like setting in more in my household. Like, I'm like cooking and cleaning and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I take that on and I have like the time and the flexible schedule for that. But like, damn, I leave time like every day to clean and stuff. And like, it kind of feels like this, like just constant rotation of like, prepare the meal, eat the meal, clean up for the meal, prepare the meal, eat the meal, clean up from the meal. Like, I think we went the first 3 weeks without ordering in. Like, I just went into like completely like, you know, independent survival mode, like cooking huge quantities and leaving it in Tupperwares in the fridge and like
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, holy shit, I need a break from this, because especially without fancy electrodomésticos, like, I really...
Give me a dishwasher or give me death.
I am really, every day, it's back and forth. It's like, is it a dishwasher or a dryer? Because to have a nice fluffy towel would really just, like, ease my soul.
Save my life. And also it would just make everything so much faster. Like, I don't know, I feel the same. It's like, last night I was just like, I am sick of being an ama de casa. Like, I just like, because it's so true. I mean, it's no matter how progressive your pareja may be, and in my case, like, Josie is great, but he's different generation, different culture. He kind of has like some built-in, like, a lot of male privilege there. And luckily he doesn't, like, you know, he's not like, woman, where's my bifecito? Right. But the reality is like, yeah, I take on the bulk of all this stuff, and like having to divide these tasks and not rely on like an empleada doméstica, like, you know, because back then it was like outsource. But it's just exhausting to have to be thinking constantly of like, the floors, the bathrooms, the towels, the sheets, the dishes, the groceries, the plants, like the windows. Like, it's just so much. It's so time consuming. And I fully 1000% understand why these women in the '70s just burn their fucking bras. Yeah. Like, I am ready to just like light the world on fire and just be like, this is bullshit.
Total bullshit. Also, speaking of not wearing bras, like, I think it's good for everyone, you know, because you know, my move your DNA kind of motto, it's good for your boobs to have natural movement. Like, it's good for them to not be caged in. I put on an underwire bra for the first time, like, last week.
Torture.
And it felt like armor. Like, I felt like I was going to war. Like, I was like armada, like fucking, you were like fembot with little pistols coming out.
Bing, 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 bing. I think that I'm so fascinated to see like what will happen, like how this will affect, like how it seems kind of superficial, but in terms of like fashion and beauty and how this experience will affect us. Cause I'm a uniform kind of girl to begin with.
Yeah.
And I don't have like, I mean, I have a closet full of clothes, but I kind of have my groove in terms of what I wear on the day to day. But now it's literally like, I wear the same outfit every single day. I just rotate between sweatshirts and I wonder like when this ends, if people are going to like go into like full on maximalism because it's like, they've been so repressed.
Yeah.
Or it's just going to be like utilitarian and like with makeup and stuff. Like, I mean, I've never been a big, like, I'm not like a glamour puss, but like I wear makeup every day, or I wore makeup every day.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, I only was putting on mascara when we were doing our Corona call videos. And I kind of loved like just not having to worry about it. Not because I felt like pressure from outside to do it, but it was like just part of the routine. And now I don't, like, it's just funny how our time and our focus has shifted from like maybe putting on concealer to like having to bleach the floors, you know.
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
Like, I don't have time in the day to do everything. And so I just like prioritize what is more like, lo que más me urge.
Yeah.
And I wonder if/when we return to sort of normalcy, like what of those new habits will carry over and what won't.
Interesting. Totally. Like, speaking of the fashion bit, like, first of all, I put on pants that aren't 99% spandex for the podcast. So just,
yeah, you did, girl.
Just saying. And then second of all, our friend sent me a screenshot of like, it's Jack Irwin. I don't even know if that's like a shoe store or something. And there's like Vogue.
Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter?
And it says Vogue, like a quote that Vogue said, this is the perfect work from home shoe. And it's
that is an
slide.
Oxymoron.
It's a like a little slide, you know, who knows how many hundreds of dollars it costs. And it made me irate. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh, you're slinging shoes to stay at home. Like, it just was like tone deaf. Like,
yeah, it really enrages me. Like, it's funny. I was reading last night or the night before. I've been taking a break from like my books and just like reading magazines before bed.
Nice.
And I had an old copy of Departures, not even old, it's from this year, that I like brought back when I was in DC. And I was reading, it was like this spotlight on a new like luxury boutique, like yacht, experience, like in Indonesia, and like the former CEO of DreamWorks was there, and like it costs $8,000 a person for 5 days. And I was just reading it, and I was like, "Fuck this!" Like I was like, "This feels so. This is so over the top, ostentatious, ridiculous. Like people just like looking for ways to spend thousands and thousands of dollars when like." Like people don't have enough like money to buy food. Like I know this like thing was pre coronavirus, but just like the thought of like the concept of like luxury, like kind of just revolts me right now. Yeah. Like it feels repulsive.
Absolutely like, repulsive. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I just feel like it's just so unnecessary. I mean, I don't know. It's like I know then you can argue for like the importance of like comfort on whatever level in terms of like making life sort of worth living. I don't know how to say that. I don't want to like go too existential.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole thing of like seeing these like luxury either media outlets or brands or whatever trying to like obviously make a buck. Like you don't need to buy anything to survive quarantine except like bleach and food to survive.
You definitely don't need a Peloton bike, which is on back order. Like ridiculous luxury goods. Like, and it's like enraging, but, and it's also, I mean, I think that this whole experience has just been one to really like recognize when you're in a place of privilege. Like I know I just immediately thought of like the homeless woman who lives on my street. I'm like, how is she going to survive this?
No,
and she's still heartbreaker. There. Like she's still here. We buy her things when we can. And the community comes together to buy her stuff. And I think, you know, one thing that's like been just kind of also aggravating to me is like the silver linings, gratefulness. I'm all about it. Like, I mean, I guess more gratefulness. Like I think you really want to tap into that and recognize like, wow, it's actually like the very simple things that I'm grateful for. I'm not necessarily grateful, like, you know, for my luxury, you know, yacht vacation or whatever it might be. but like just whether you're in a position of privilege or not, like we're all under these same circumstances. So like we can bum out together. Like we can share the fact
misery loves company.
Yeah. And that this is not all, it's not all silver linings. There are silver linings there, but like, you know, just because we're privileged doesn't mean that we can't be bummed by the whole situation. Like once in a while, it just like hits me like the tragedy of it all. And it's just like so intense. And
it's so heavy. Like I feel the same. Like I feel guilt. Like, I don't know. I try not to get too wallowy. Like yesterday was really rough.
Yeah.
Ooh, sound effect.
Sorry.
I love it. Where's your thunder machine when we need it?
I can't believe, wait, I left my thunder machine at the studio.
Like, I love how we were like, just leave. The guys are like, ay, leave it here. Like, no pasa nada. And you were like, but Lauti will say like, no necesitaba. And we were like laughing about it. And now joke's on us.
I don't know why I did that. I also don't know why I shared a mate with Pablo that day, but it was the last mate I shared and I'll never forget it.
I mean, Pablito, if you're listening to this, which you are because you're our editor, we love you. Miss slurping down that gourd with you. I feel the same in the sense of like, you know, I let myself like get into those like moments. I mean, I think that it's just important for everyone to not only be like gentle and kind with themselves, but also with each other. Like just because I'm complaining one day doesn't mean I'm not hyper aware of all of the privilege that I have. Like, and it's sort of like I can be both. Like I can be really, really, really stressed about how I'm going to be making money and how I'm going to continue to like pay for things, but also like trying to give back and like trying to help the people who are living on the street in my neighborhood, or like just being aware of that, like I have a lovely home and my health. Like I think that, you know, it's really not a zero-sum game. And I think that we're kind of reaching a point. It ebbs and flows, right? But I think that, you know, there's these moments where everyone is a little bit more on edge and a little bit more like eager to police each other. And like, even I had it when I was like, the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm sick of seeing everyone's fucking masa madre. Like, I get it. You made sourdough. Like, I mean, that's kind of like my vibe, is to be like, you know, kind of in a bad mood, but
it's your brand,
you know. And then I realized that, like, everyone's just like, we are literally just stuck in our homes. Like, if I want to Instagram story my jigsaw puzzle, like, I'm going to do it. And I just like live and let live, because, you know, no one knows like what everyone else is going through. Like, you might be, you know, your friends in New York, you might be like struggling with hearing really scary stories from your friends back home. Like, yeah. I'm really worried about my own family, and like wondering when I'm going to see my niece again. Like, you know, we all have, like, everyone has stresses and anxieties and uncertainties. And it's just sort of like, just because you have a certain privilege doesn't mean you don't have other like problems going on, you know? And like,
absolutely. And it's all relative. Remember that. And it's all relative. Like, I mean, you know, one person's problems could seem like chump change to another, but it's like, if that's the most intense problem that you face, then it's really intense. And like,
it's real. And it's just very acute. Exactly. It's like the intensity is just because it's so, like, I've just noticed that, like, because we don't have these distractions or like external factors, like, to kind of dress up or cover up certain things, like, we are just like sitting alone with our thoughts and our problems, yeah, and all these things. And it's like, we don't have that luxury of like changing venues. Like, imagine if you have like a disagreement with Lauti or whatever, and maybe before you'd be like, okay, I'm just gonna get out and take a walk and like, yeah, clear my head, or like call, like, let's go for a coffee, like, I just need to get out of the house.
Yeah,
like, now we can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no, like, there's just none of those little, like, there's so many things that served as distractions, I think, just even, like, bus rides between, you know, between, like, events, between, you know, just getting from point A to point B and having that be the time where you either, like, send some messages or read something or just zone out or listen to your podcast or whatever. And like, now it's just, like, you know, okay, you hit end meeting and then you're just, there you are again, just sitting, yeah, alone.
Me, myself, and I.
Yep.
Just like, yeah, it's like wherever you go, there you are, you know? It's just, I've been struggling with the therapy aspect. Like, I'm doing therapy,
yeah,
virtually, and it's kind of weird. Like, I just feel like I'm going in circles. Like, I feel like I'm in this suspended animation where, yeah, I have good days, bad days, I make progress, I don't make progress, like, it's kind of all there, but I just feel like I'm having a hard time, like, incorporating or applying, or I don't know what the word is, like lessons and learnings, like,
right, you don't have like that playground to go,
like,
put it
no
to
tengo
use
donde aplicarlo, or right. Like, I do, but I just don't know how, and like, then I just get really hard on myself for, like, I don't know, not having like stronger, like, mental, like, I don't know, like, or like inner peace, I don't know what bullshit, yeah, but like, I feel like I'm like learning, I'm like going through these motions of like what I should be learning and understanding. And like, I, on a certain level, know that, like, mm-hmm, I know them, but I haven't like made that click. I don't know. Like, I
totally hear you. Yeah. I mean, like, my therapist talks about like how we're constantly like rehearsing, like, estamos ensayando. And it's like, he talks a ton. The therapy that I do is all based on like vínculos, like relationships. And so it's like, and it's group therapy, and that's how we like work on that. And it's like, you know, okay, now what do I apply it in, like, this Zoom meeting? Like, and I like, there's definitely like Zoom fatigue is very real. Ugh. And like, I am definitely a different kind of version of myself on Zoom. I guess it depends on what I'm doing. Like, when I'm teaching, like, I'm really, you know, really want the energy to be high and people to be energized, and myself too. Like, I benefit so much from the classes that I teach. But then in therapy, I'm just kind of like this like sour, like, adolescent, like, angsty teenager or something. I'm, yeah, just like, I'm sick off, of mom. This. Like, I'm just like,
like, can I go, you know, watch TV?
Like, the therapy I do, we're like usually like rolling around in a pile, like, on top of one another, like the opposite of quarantine.
I love that.
Having to, you know, I give my therapist credit, like, he's definitely getting really creative with like how we can keep the vibe going. Last week we did like a collective story, like, everybody told, like, said a part of a story, and so, and
that's
it,
cool.
It started like very dark, and then it completely transformed into something like very like fun and playful, and we're all like laughing, and that's kind of the whole premise. It's called, like, the therapy is called Transformación en Movimiento, and it was like the whole vibe transformed like completely, and you could totally like observe it. It happened, and it was really cool. But yeah, like also like looking at yourself as a player in these conversations is just like a very weird reality to me. Like, you know, I've had like intense Zoom conversations where I have to like, I have this opportunity to see myself like mad or, you know, ooh, angry or frustrated or something. And it's like, whoa, like this is like a mind fuck.
Yeah, like it's just, yeah, it's weird to see ourselves in this new context and like wondering how our personalities and our characters like will adapt and evolve to best like adjust and fit to the circumstances. Because yeah, I feel like I'm a person, yeah, that, I mean, so much of my life thrives on and relies on like interpersonal connection and interaction.
Totally.
And so even though I have this like side of me that does feel like introverted, that enjoys being home, like I love recharging at home because I'm usually out all the time. But now it's like, yeah, I don't have that. And even like having to leave the house with half of my face covered under a barbijo and like not being able to use my face. Oh, hi Poach. Just shake it out. Like another sound effect. This is like Efectos Especiales Caseros, exactly. Brought to you by Bad Information. That's just like strange to me. And like, it just,
yeah, that was like a hard reality for me to accept, was the barbijos. Like, it just felt like a futuristic reality that I just like never wanted to see.
Yeah.
I mean, but I've been like surprised and impressed. I'm just like, everybody got their hands on barbijos. Like everybody, you know, it's just, it's been impressive to see how like worldwide, like, you know, the news, bad news spreads quickly. Like everybody, yeah, you know, got prepared and
like, well, thank God for Mercado Libre. Like, yeah. I mean, I bought like, well, but it's funny though, cause like, I think we talked about this in one of our hashtag Corona calls, excellent content that should definitely be winning a few Golden Globes or down the line. But the, shout out to Ayla. Love you, babe.
Love you.
But, like, getting the things that I had stocked up on like before that I wish I had switched out for other things, like instead of buying alcohol and gel, like which I literally haven't touched since we've been in quarantine, like I wish I had just bought like tons of like rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
And like maybe instead of getting like latex gloves or like the latex alternative gloves, I wish I had, yeah, maybe just like bought masks like more online masks, and just waited for them to come. Because I mean, it's just funny, it's like, you know, you don't know like what you're going to need until it kind of like plays out.
Yeah.
It's like, or like, you know, maybe just regular hand soap wouldn't be enough. So they, like, we would need hand sanitizer. Like, I don't, you know, there's no way to know that.
Yeah.
But, it's just like, I just have such a hard time when I really sit with myself. I think I'm okay. I mean, I want to think I'm okay with like this kind of lapse in like productivity and like all of that, all of those demons that come with it. Mm-hmm. But I just have such a hard time envisioning what it looks like down the line.
Yeah.
Like, cause this is just such a huge shift professionally and also personally, but it's hard not to talk about the professional aspect of it because it's just, you know, I'm still a young working adult. It's not like, yeah, I'm a retiree or I'm not like a middle school student doesn't have to think about that yet.
Right.
So it's like, how do I adapt? Like I yesterday when I was just like totalmente sin rumbo, like being emo AF, walking, yeah, around the apartment, like looking out the window, like
watching the rain,
like literally watching the rain. Like, but I was just like, I feel like I have a million options, but I also feel like I have zero options. It's like, I have so many things that I could maybe do, or like maybe pursue this, like maybe try this, like maybe do a course on this so you could learn, yeah, about that. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't, like, part of me is like, I don't want to do that. Like, I, yeah, don't want, like, I don't know if I have the energy right now, and I guess that's okay, but like, I don't have the energy to like reinvent my entire professional career when I had been building up for 12 years to a certain moment, you know?
Right. Totally. I think, I mean, like I was thinking about this yesterday, like the things that we do, like, you know, like, I mean, the classes that I'm teaching, and then I have the same thing. Like, I'll wake up and be like, I'm going to study blah, blah. You know, like, I just, yeah, like...
Masterclass.
Have a new idea. Yeah. I mean, I'm always, like, looking at online courses, but then it's, like, maybe something more, you know, like, more legitimate. I don't know. But, like, reflecting on, okay, whatever little things that you do or are doing, like... What did you like about them, and what did you not like about them? Like, what were the parts of them that felt that like really were really feeding you, and other parts that maybe were draining you? And just like start to like collect data on that, so that like if and when like the new normal like arrives, like you're a little bit more like clear on like what exactly it is that you want to do. Because I don't know that this is the time to like make a big decision, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think like, I guess like part of me has just been getting in that, that whole bit of like kind of feeling really aggressive against seeing people post like, make the best out of this quarantine, like, da, 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 and like all these like inspirational quotes and like coaching and like wellness boners. Like, I don't know. I just, part of me is just like, I think that you published in a scientific journal called Instagram Stories about like toxic positivity. And yes, that really, really, really sits well with me, because yeah, I feel like it was hard for me to articulate why I felt this kind of just like rage at people who would like, daily meditation and then like journaling and then like free writing. And then I managed to put it together in like a perfect template that I published on my Insta stories that has like music from Spotify. Like, I don't know. And just being like, you know, like I'm so like, I am a goddess. Like, I am enlightened. Like, I am finding my purpose. And I'm sort of like, I cleaned the bathroom today.
Yeah. And it felt like, so and good. That's like, cause it was like physical exertion. I sweat. And then I took a shower after and I felt so satisfied. And none of it was like, Instagram worthy, or maybe it was like, it's, you know, it's up to you. Like, toxic positivity in general. I mean, back to what we were saying before about like, the silver linings thing. Like, I saw a post and it was like, don't talk to me about silver linings. And I loved it. It was like, there certainly are. And like I said, I think gratefulness is like a wonderful exercise. Like, I think that this is kind of, like I said, amplifying like what we realize, the simplicity of the things that we're grateful for. But like, when you're only trying to talk about positive things, like, especially at a time like this, it's like, dude, it's not working. Like, we can be bummed. We can like be there for each other, even though we're bummed, and we can reach out and support each other. And, it's something that like in general, I mean, I think I experienced in the US, like when I started just kind of like realizing that the path that I was going down was like not fulfilling for me at all. And in fact, it was like very just like detrimental to my health on so many levels. Mm. And I became like very depressed, and I didn't know how to be like vulnerable and be like, I am like in a really bad place right now. Like, I did with like my closest friends, but it still kind of felt like this like secret, because, okay, I don't know, I'm not going to go to like all these celebratory events of weddings and baby showers and all that and be the one who's just like emo staring out the window, even though like that's how I felt. But like, yeah. And then I think, And you try your best to be vulnerable. I remember I wrote an email to like my closest people, and we're just like, you guys like are my board. You guys really help me. But like, and like people that I knew that I could be honest with. But then when there's, you know, just this kind of, let's only talk about the positive stuff, then you don't know where you can enter the conversation. And then also that can make you feel even more alienated, which makes you even more depressed. So like,
it's like,
I've been hearing people say like recently, more than ever, like it's okay to not be okay. And I think that like people are maybe realizing this or repeating that more and more. I'm talking mostly about like friends from the US, like, and I think that, you know, since we're all in this situation together, that's kind of like a collective, realization that people are having.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I mean, we've been in this so long now, like we've been ahead of the US here in Argentina. And like, I don't know, the first few weeks, one of my bigger like fears was just getting sick. Like, yeah. Was just like the actually getting sick. And like, I was just monitoring my body so much and I was so in my head. And I was just like, I mean, I don't know how your media consumption has evolved or not. Yeah. Like I pretty much like don't, I mean, obviously, like, you see things on social media, be it Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, but I, like, pretty much don't even, like, I don't even look at news websites, be them local or international anymore, because I just, I only managed to find the articles about, like, perfectly healthy 30-year-olds that died.
Yeah, right.
like, that was, like, the only thing that my eyes would find, and yeah, so I kind of realized, like, I don't need this. Like, if I need information, I know where I can get it. If I need legitimate facts and, like, things like that, I know that I can get them. But, like, I have to kind of close that off because it was seeping into my brain to a point where, like, I think I had, like, psychosomatic manifestations of illness, and I was terrified and like thinking about being intubated in Argentina and just like, I don't know, all these really scary
worst case scenario.
Always worst case scenario. And it just like jacked up my anxiety to a point where like it just became like untenable.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, I know that like I've put my blinders up more, I'm like have more of a buffer zone, and like that's part of what I have to do to like stay healthy mentally and physically, then like so be it. And I think that like, and also being honest about that, like you said, that just like knowing that it's okay to have a shitty day. And I feel like talking to friends that are like, that are really trustworthy to just kind of be like, I'm in a shitty fucking mood right now. And yeah. Like, and I kind of feel guilty though when that happens to me, because I don't want to like contaminate anyone else's space. Like that's, I'm much more mindful of that maybe than I was before. Like maybe before it was just like, I should just get it out because it felt good. And now I'm like, but what if I like send Caroline like a 5-minute long WhatsApp voice note talking about how like I hate everything and like she's really trying to like stay positive today and like it, you know,
well,
that's something that's at play.
And that's the thing that I think, like, you know, if there are people who like maybe tend more towards like this toxic positivity or what they just see as positivity, that's their outlook on life, is that like, let's always find the silver linings, let's always find the positive. Like it can be incredibly uncomfortable to sit with anyone else's like negativity. But the thing is, like, I think the more that you feel that you're responsible for someone else's like troubles or negativity, then yeah, that's going to feel shitty. But like this person is just trying to get something like off of their chest, put it out there. Like, I think the best thing you can say is like, I'm sorry. And like, I know.
Te abrazo.
Te abrazo. Such a beautiful like concept.
I love te abrazo.
Love te abrazo. And I think, in general, like my experience living in Argentina has been like, like deconstructing some of that stuff that really was very prevalent in the US. And so like, I feel that it's such a relief to be able to have a coffee with someone here and you can just be like, acá estamos, you know what I mean? Like that's a perfectly fine answer for like, how are you? Good. Okay. I've been watching Easy. Have you watched Easy on Netflix?
No, it's on my list, but I didn't watch it yet.
I find it really entertaining, but it's also like, I feel like it very perfectly captures like the US, and it's so cringeworthy. Like it's just so awkward. Like it's like filling awkward silences. And the storylines are really cute, and in a lot of ways it makes me miss the US, but like it's on point with like how people interact and like this kind of like fear of silence and just like this like awkwardness that just becomes like normal, this baseline awkwardness.
Yeah, like it's just being able to sit with that. Like it's funny because that reminds me of when I was talking to my dad about this, and then someone interviewed me about this a couple weeks ago. Like, who do you think is more set up to handle isolation, like American North Americans or Argentines? And like at first you would think, oh, like North Americans, like because Argentines are so social and they're so, you know, like they're so collective. And I believe that, you know, it's like we're so used to doing everything in massive groups and like being together for hours at a time, just like tomando café and like whatever, like right, sobremesa. like literally hello sobremesa. But I also, I do believe that it's like Argentines are also more adapted to uncertainty and like living the moment. So even though, and like, and they, because they have these hypersocial skills, they can almost more easily adapt those skills to a virtual landscape. Mm. Whereas people in the US maybe are more rigid in how their interactions play out. Mm. And also enjoy having greater control over their individual freedoms. And so not being like,
oh, yeah,
being told what to do is like a big no-no.
Yeah.
Even though Argentines are like rebellious and love to break the rules, it's like, I feel like there's this collective consciousness that lets them understand more easily like the greater good. Whereas Americans, even though you think that we have this better sense of civic duty, it's more like, don't tread on me. Like, this is my personal freedom. Like, how dare you tell me, yeah, I can't go get a haircut, and like freaking out about that. And like, yep, being, I mean, they're really just personally offended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way, they're way more just individualistic, I think. And, yeah, it's been interesting. Like, I, from the beginning, observing Argentines, like, going, you know, staying at home. I mean, not observing, but just kind of like feeling it. Like when you're on, yeah, the street and just like those first few weeks when it was just like so dead quiet, and like hearing music play from people's, you know, or from people's balconies, or like people screaming, or just like families together. Like the apartment next door, like we kind of like have a balcony right next to our neighbors. And the very first day we moved in, I tried to like make friends, like, I mean, just like introduce, oh, yeah, myself. And the guy was kind of just like, well, I thought he was like living there, but it turned, I mean, I thought it was like him, his apartment, but it's the son of a family. And so like the whole family's there together. And we've kind of been like, you know, just saying hello every day when we're out there, and like, you know, sharing like things little by little. But what I observed was, you know, this kind of, I think it's like a spillover from the dictadura, like when, you know, there was this fear of kind of people like spying on one another and like this kind, yeah, of like secrecy. And so, I don't know, I just know that in the US, like we'd be like cracking beers and like doing like, you know, funnels with our like neighbors on the balcony next door or something. And it's still, we're still very just like polite and like haven't kind of like exchanged any very much like personal information with our neighbors. So
yeah,
I think that was just kind of like an interesting observation. And then like going out into the street when like things were just kind of starting, like with the dog or just to go to the pharmacy or whatever, like I kind of like was looking around for people to be like, qué locura, no, you know what,
yes,
I mean,
like, but share, I, to,
yeah,
share,
I was like,
with,
es una locura, you know, like I wanted like, like can we recognize
it's flash,
we're all wearing barbijos, like let's all just like recognize this. But people still kind of had this very much this like keep to themselves, like secrecy, and like the distance felt like even greater. And
yeah, it's very subdued. Like it's a very strange, but do you feel like now though, I think that like, I mean, I'll walk the dog and I'll see like people like chatting up the kiosquero, like with their like barbijo, like mal puesto, and just kind of being like, like kind of like, you know, they're like, bueno, and like not like flaunting like the rule, but like kind of just like going back to their roots, like in the sense of like, bueno, ya está, like voy a, yeah, cumplir, but I'm also gonna like have my charla diaria.
Yeah, I think it was like pretty, I think it was just very tense in the beginning, and like,
yeah,
you know, like you said, people like socially and just like within the context of your family, I think that you're very like cared for and protected here. But I wasn't seeing like any like recognition of just like what was happening outside. But then like little by little, like the verdulero guy we've been chatting with like consistently, and now like when I take the dog to the plaza, and it's like I see people like, you know, starting to talk a little bit and share more, and people approaching like to,
yeah,
to start to like exchange once again. And
just, I know it just feels so like, it's just when it happens, like when we slowly return to whatever the new normal will look like, it's just like, I wonder, just how much will have changed in that sense of, like, it's sort of like, I wonder if it's like, I think it's like riding a bike, you know, it's like, we haven't done it in a while, but we'll be able to fall back into it really easily. But like, I just was, I started to get like really nostalgic for all of that stuff. Like I got nostalgic for, you know, my talk, like shooting the shit with all the doormen in the morning and like, doing my rounds. Like I got so nostalgic for just going out and like going out for Saturday brunch and like reading the papers and having cafe con leche. And like, although I do not miss paying like 150 pesos for a coffee now. It's like funny, buying all of your food and making it yourself really is cheaper. I totally would love, like, would be like, no, it's not. Like, cause it's just, there's just two of us. So going out to eat is actually probably like the same. And I'm like, Paige, you would spend like 1,000 pesos at like a breakfast for you and Josie. And like, now that's like half of my groceries that will last me like 10 days. Like, get over yourself.
I miss
like going to get helado. Like I miss.
Me too. I was just thinking about like an afternoon helado the other day. Like we've been getting helado, but like not in the context I want to.
Like we used to never, like we would never get delivery ice cream. Like we'd always just go there because it's like, duh. Like I really miss leaving the house together and like walking the dog together.
Yeah.
I just miss like seeing all like the viejas chusmas, like, I don't know, just like sitting in the park and like talking shit about the neighbors. And
yeah. Like, instead they're just like doing it like on their, like, cause the viejas chusmas all live in my apartment, by the way, just all of in the building.
Obviously.
So like, I'm like waiting. The reason I was late to this call, cause I'm waiting for the elevator and it's not coming. It's not coming. It's not coming. The portero goes up and he was like, oh, they were estaban charlando ahí arriba, just like with the elevator door open. So it wasn't like operating. So they're still chatting, just not outside. And I miss, like, I mean,
they're adapting.
We're talking about cabs that smell like butts. Like I just miss like getting in a cab regardless of what it smells like. I mean, the weather has been so beautiful, just zipping down Libertador or whatever, listening to Aspen, just like having freaking
La Radio de los Clásicos,
Toto Africa, like just glaring and just, it's such a good vibe.
I miss like a good power walk, like on a nice day like today, where like I would be in Palermo and be like, I'm just gonna walk back home and like putting on a podcast or some good tunes and like hitting the pavement and like petting strange dogs on the way, like popping into a random dietética, you know, like just like, I just miss those like scenes, like escenas cotidianas de la vida porteña, like just, I don't know, like seeing grandparents, like, you know, the cliche of like grandparents like playing with their grandchildren in the plaza, and then like I'm like a lawyer like in an ill-fitting suit like on a phone being like, bueno, lo que pasa es que los papeles no están listos, and like kind of acting all super important, and like he's obviously like talking to his mom, and then like
and then also, you know, just like, I remember you sent me a message once, or I don't know if it was a photo of like an abogado in a suit near tribunales with just like a huge helado.
Like he was like, hoy fue un día re duro, la verdad que durísimo, me lo merezco, and like getting like samba shon or something, like like I miss that. I miss like the people selling like shit on the subte. I miss like the smell of chipa outside Retiro. Like I do miss all that, and like I really am, like I miss like walking around in other neighborhoods and like looking at the architecture, and like I just like looking at my camera, like my roll of like photos that I take now. It's just like food that I make, like pocho in different positions around the apartment, and then like me in my same outfit in the elevator mirror like every day. It's just I miss that diversity of like discovery and just being like, eh, Jamie, that, like going into like some weird old used bookstore that's like full of cats. I don't know, I just like miss that.
Totally. I mean, I think we know that we're not gonna take it for granted when we have the opportunity again. I mean,
oh my God, no.
We'll see how time continues to play out, but like every little thing is gonna feel like so special and just like so important. And I think we can really like take this time to like make sure that anything that we want to leave behind, we can leave behind and like refresh and have like be standing on kind of like a new ground whenever we're
like
allowed to go outside.
It's like a new lease on life in a way. I mean, I don't want to like get too like hyperbolic with it, but I do agree with what you say of like leaving certain things behind. Like I've already like developed new habits or like cut out old ones or old like people or patterns that are like just not necessary to me anymore. Like, I do think this kind of like utilitarian approach, it lets us pare down and be like, okay, I don't need to spend time worrying about this thing or this person or this relationship or whatever. And like even incorporating new ways of like staying active or like, you know, wellness, like maybe it is cooking for myself more. Cause I kind of abandoned that. Maybe now it's like, it is, I'm going to prioritize cooking, even though it like drives me nuts cause I don't have a dishwasher, but it's like, you know, it's better for, I don't know, whatever. And thinking of like, just when we can, leave the house again, just like, I just think I want to spend a lot more time enjoying friends, like, and that sounds so kind of like very maudlin, but I just like, all I want to do is like hang out with like you and like in a room and like eat hummus and then like, I don't know, just like listen to music and just laugh. Like, I don't really, it is kind of like best things in life are free. Like, I don't necessarily want to, I just want to like in kind of like gozar like ese intercambio. Like, I just want to feel that. And then just be more aware and grateful for like the things that I have in my immediate surroundings.
Yes.
You know, and not like always looking elsewhere to find fulfillment or I don't know.
I think we're definitely all being forced to do that big time.
Yeah. Big term.
And yeah, I mean, one of the things that I'm like, that's been an interesting kind of focus for me is like this, you know, at this gym at Freddy's Fit Club where I had been teaching and still do, but now virtually online, like our main focus was community. And we were really building that with the expat community. And I think that it's, and locals. And I think that it still exists online, but it's like, how does it adapt and how do you keep people engaged and how do you keep like interaction happening and not just like one person talking to the masses, but instead like, you know, creating an exchange, because, you know, like what I realize is now I'm asking everybody to go on mute so that we can all be listening to the same music. And like, I think that's cool because it's like, we're all like, you know, you could argue like there's so many fitness and workout videos and yoga online for free, but like, what is it that makes this special? It's like, well, we're all like kind of agreeing to come together at this time and like move together and listen to the same music and therefore kind of like have the same vibe going and take some big breaths together at the same time. Like, there's something very unifying about that, even though we're all at this point now all over the world. But I'm getting to this point where it's like, okay, everyone's on mute. I'm talking, screaming at the computer.
And, yapping away.
And like, you know, it's like, I'm ready to start like having people pop off mute and like do the countdowns, like vary who does the countdowns. Or like, you know, I had one of our friends like just give a little bit of like an inspirational talk at the beginning of our last class, because she's definitely been like just, you know, encarando la cuarentena from like a spiritual perspective. And I think that it's like really inspiring to hear like what she's focusing on. And so that's been interesting. How can we continue to community build even online and even, you know, separately? So yeah,
like us right now, I mean, it's like I miss so much like sitting in our big leather chairs and Villa Crespo up there with Pablito, and just like,
that was
magical. I miss that. And I think it's just so, it's, you know, but we learn, we grow, we adapt, we figure it out. You know, we're like still maybe working out the kinks, but it can happen. I do hope that we are able to reincorporate like a more terrenal, like an actual, like, you know, tangible community as well as virtual communities. But it's like, I found that like creativity is helping. Like, I love even just playing like online Pictionary with friends. Like, I think that those are like, cause I got Zoom fatigue too. Cause it's just like, oh, I don't want to like sit on my computer and just like, I don't know, like it just felt weird after a while. But like having something that we're all doing together, like drawing, is really fun. And I miss that kind of like spontaneous laughter. And it's been really fun to like watch someone try to draw like a waterfall, you know, like, I don't, it's just like, it's funny. And we're all like I'm literally like, you know, laughing at my computer, and like, we're just, it just feels like a very, like an escape valve, and it feels like a very healthy release. And like, I've noticed that that's finding those kinds of like playful creative spaces personally has been a nice antidote to kind of like the rote loneliness, or like the rote just like, I don't know, it almost feels perfunctory at this point, like the, you know, getting onto the Zoom, hi everyone, like going on to mute now, like kind of just going through those motions.
Like my friend did a great, like, she did a great like imitation of like people at the end of a Zoom call. She's like, my new favorite thing is like watching people's faces melt at the end of a Zoom call, because everyone's like big cheesy smile waving at the camera, bye, and then they like, go to like, they search for like the end meeting, and their face just like melts into like the reality of like quarantine. Yeah,
it's like, well, fuck that, like literally it's like I just see my jowls just like, like,
wait,
it's
another
so true.
Friend of mine though, this is the craziest Zoom story I've ever heard. So like, there was like a 40 person birthday party Zoom,
and no, thank you.
Yeah, she was like, how long will I last? Like, I did do like a 40-minute, like, I don't know how many people were on it, but little baby shower, but it was all like planned and interactive, and there were some games, yeah, and like the, you know, couple who was about to have the baby talked, and like it was so great to see them. I couldn't wipe like this huge shit-eating grin off of my face. But another thing is just like a, you know, unlimited time, 40 people, like birthday Zoom, but one of the participants like put a static image of herself like up as her background, and like went on with her life.
Oh my god.
And then got like completely called out, and like came back to the screen and was like crying, and it was just like,
oh my god,
I was like,
drama,
shit, Zoom drama. Like, of course, I'm not surprised that this friend like was the first to like open my eyes to the drama that can like happen on Zoom, but like, oh my god, like she put up a static, like, you know how you can set the background,
yeah,
and it was just like an image of herself like semi-smiling, and she got totally called out. It's like, you know, we can at least be like that amount of vulnerable to be like, hi, love you, sending my love, I just can't take, like, I can't take another Zoom, like, you yeah, know, I'm like, gonna pop off, like,
yeah, it's like when you go, it's like the equivalent of going for like one drink to a party of like, exactly, I'm gonna go in, have a glass of wine, and then I'm gonna leave. I mean, you right, can just sort of say like, no puedo más, chicas.
That's like, the interesting thing is like, you no longer, like, everyone's like, what are you gonna do instead, like, where, what else are you gonna do? There was a lot of like that at the beginning, I think, and yeah, it's like, okay,
let,
like,
yeah,
but also like, I'm still allowed to say no, you know.
Yeah, and not to be like, I just want to like be in my house and not having to like put on a face or like have to think of a conversation, and just like stare at the fucking wall. Like, yeah, I just want to scratch my butt and like, I don't know. I mean, just let me do that. Let me live. And I think that, you know, like, yeah, we're all just figuring it out. I think of all the places to be. It's sad to think that I feel maybe better here than if I were in the US. Obviously, hindsight, like, I don't know, you know, grass is always greener, maybe, or I don't know. But I feel good here. I feel
Me
thankful
too.
For my friends. I feel thankful for the community that we've built. And I feel thankful for a lot of things. And just trying, at the end of the day, just to take it one step at a time. And just, like, I don't know, wait for the, like, new batch of memes to come out. Like, I just love, you know, love a good meme. And then, like, you know.
There's been some amazing content. Like, a few things that I just keep going back to that really make me laugh. And, yeah, I agree. I'm grateful to be here. I've been impressed with the government, like, the way the government has handled it. Like, pifiaron un par de cosas, eso sí. Like, yeah, there were some things that weren't ideal, but in general, I think people are generally really respecting this quarantine. I think people have less options. You don't have your, you know, friend's Florida house that you can go drive to or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, potentially spread the disease all along your, you know, cross country or, you know, coastline trips that you think are harmless, but really could be doing potentially like great damage. So,
yeah,
so we have to stay put. And yeah, I mean, I think if you've been intentional about the way that you've you know, kind of set up your life, then you can kind of rest in that. But I also think about people who maybe followed a script and really relied on so many external things to make them happy, or just to keep like everything in motion, you know, like having childcare and you know, parents with multiple children and full-time jobs. And these are a lot of my peers at home. And I'm just like, right now, I'm just like, taking care of myself and this little dog is like plenty for me.
Right? Plenty of emotional labor. Yeah. I think it's very true just what you say about the sort of the script and like having an intentional life in the sense of whatever that looks like, you know, obviously for everyone it's different, but to kind of, it's again, like we can't hide behind anything else. So now we have to, you know, like kind of sit with it and there you go. Like, it's just kind of, I think that that's okay.
Yeah. And if sitting with it makes you realize that like, oh, there's, you know, lots of things that I want to adjust, that, and like, that can be so overwhelming when you realize that. I mean, I've been there, but it's like, and it's like you said, step by step, like little by little. But just like having that recognition and becoming aware of that is a huge step in and of itself. Like,
oh, 1,000%.
Like, awareness is the first step. It might sound so like, so obvious, but like that's the first step in like potentially making a change.
Oh my God. Sorry. I had to also just in the middle of that like heartfelt moment, close the door on Jose's office because living in the same apartment with everyone shouting on their phones while we're trying to make a very professional podcast. Hello.
You're good. I mean, I can't control the volume of my voice. So
No, but I just love how like, This is our life now. It's like we don't have a soundproof studio or whatever. You know, we don't have like, how many doors would I add to my apartment if I could, and just like compartmentalize.
Yeah, we have like, lots of doors, and they're very noisy.
Yeah, we actually do too.
But yeah, that's actually been really interesting too. I like joined this Facebook Connect or something. It was like this, you know, event put on by Facebook. You recommended it to me.
Yeah.
You sent me that like Community Connect and I joined mm-hmm. it. And like, these are like Facebook executives like running it, and they were having audio problems. Okay. So like, you know, that just was like, okay, like, you know, the technical difficulties that we're all bound to have, like no one is exempt from those. Like it's new territory for all of us.
It's new for everyone. We're all trying to figure it out. Like, it's kind of like when people love to like comment, like if you have a typo in like your Instagram story or something, they're like, oh, you spelled it wrong. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, like, sorry. Or like, I don't know. I just think exactly, you know, we want to have, you know, you want things to be polished and quote unquote perfect, but they might, you know, it's like you said, even the Facebook big head honchos have, you know, spotty Wi-Fi, like, yeah. So sue me.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, it's just sort of like, again, we can focus on the content rather than like the decoration, so to speak.
Exactly. Absolutely.
But I do love a good excuse to like slam the door in Josie's face. It feels good.
Yeah, no, I think that we like are learning to be kinder with each other, but we can't forget to be kind to ourselves too. Be kind of,
yeah, like
softer,
just
with ourselves.
Let's just chillax. Like, let's just take a chill pill. Like, yeah. I don't even like, let's just like, who cares? I mean, part of me, I'm just like, I just realize how many things are just being like desmascarados, like, or like unmasked as just like not necessary, not as important, not as pressing as we thought they were. And just like, ya está. Like, in a way, it's very freeing. It's very like Buddhist.
Very Buddhist. Just, we are being forced to be present, and it's proving hard. It's proving very challenging, but like this, that's the challenge. Like, we're.
Yeah. And yeah. I just kind of want to like dive into that. But speaking of diving in, I have a giant pile of laundry that is calling my name. It's all dish towels. I've never washed this many dish towels in my life, and I've never been more grateful to have like a surplus of American-made towels.
You have an American-made dish towels, because that is definitely a pain point for me. Like, they get these RG ones that I have get wet and then they never dry and then they bum me out every time I touch them. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Next time I go to TJ Maxx or Marshall's, I am stocking up.
I like, cause my mom, every time like she sends something down with someone, she like gives me a tea towel. Cause it's like, you know, cause it's like light and easy and it's like a, and I'm like, I don't need any more tea towels. And then I'm like, now I'm like, thank you, mommy.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much.
I know.
Much.
And I'm using my Ziploc bags. Like there's no tomorrow. Oh. Like,
well now I'm glad I have that stockpile. Like
exactly.
And I'm reusing them obviously.
Oh, but yeah, like, of course
I wanna, I had like a leftover thing of heavy duty aluminum foil from Thanksgiving that I'm like I need to, I don't know. It's funny how I will no longer spend money on makeup, but I might just spend like, I'm just going to like shift my spending to like kitchen supplies and like nice underwear. I don't know. Like just,
oh man. Yeah, no, they're definitely
we'll just keep diving into that.
The list of things, like my parents were supposed to come visit, the things that like I wanted them to bring, like identifying what exactly I would like kill for right now. It's like the list has become very small and very specific.
So small, so specific. Name of my sex tape.
Dish towels. And, all right. Let's dive in.
So let's just dive into the dirty laundry, literally, metaphorically, figuratively.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the name of this podcast should be.
It
dive
really
into
should.
The dirty laundry.
It could be like the subtitle, like the bachala, or like whatever. Oh my God. Well, I think this is a pretty good first attempt at our remote studio.
Yes. Hopefully. Thank you guys joining us.
Yeah. Thanks you everyone. And by everyone, I mean my dog. And hopefully you can listen to this while you're bleaching the floor or scrubbing the toilet.
Exactly.
It's like, you think of it as your quarantine companion.
Yeah. We're here for you.
We're here for you. We're all in this together. We're just figuring it out. So in the meantime, you know, check us out on every digital platform you can get your frickin' hands on. And join us for this extended social experiment that we like to call Pandemia.
Pandemia.
Pandemia. So, I mean, right. I guess until next time.
Bye.
Bye.